Senator Braun, thank you so much for taking time to join us again. We appreciate your service. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, Mike, thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Well, we certainly appreciate your advocacy on our behalf in Olympia. And as the leader of the Senate Republican Caucus, you're tasked with some extra duties and the leadership responsibility for the caucus there. In a minority party, we had some frustration this session where the majority party just wasn't willing to address these tough public safety issues. And the session adjourned without dealing with some of these important issues.
That's right. I mean, we had two big issues in front of us. We had the vehicular pursuit issue, where police weren't allowed to pursue criminals under certain circumstances. We got a little progress on that, although not enough to really change the lawlessness we're seeing across our state. So I think we have more work to do there. And then the bigger issue right now is the addressing the Blake decision, which, of course, was a state Supreme Court decision 2 years ago to legalize hard drugs, and the disastrous response the majority party has put in place in 2021 has led to a record high number of overdoses, addiction issues across our state, and really the criminal justice system is unable to respond in any meaningful way under the current law. And that law expires, as you probably know, at the end of June, which would leave one of two things happen. Either these drugs would then be fully legal in our state, or local jurisdictions would have to put in place their own ordinances to prevent them. And we worked hard in the state Senate. We were able to put out a decent plan, not a perfect one, but one that was supported on both sides of the aisle, one that I believe would have worked, supported by the city, supported by the county, the prosecutors, law enforcement. Unfortunately, the House Democratic caucus was unwilling to bring that bill forward for a vote. I'm sure it would have passed had they done that by strong margins. They brought out a bill that was a partisan bill and ultimately failed on the floor of the House the last day of session. And now here we are out of session without a bill to, you know, a statewide solution to the Blake issue.
And as a result, as you had shared with us, the current state law adopted in 2021 expires July 1st. Now counties and cities are in a bit of a scramble working with sheriffs and police chiefs and attorneys to understand how local governments can now adopt local ordinances to deal with this failure of leadership in Olympia.
Yeah, you know they can. The way the state law works is if there's a state penalty for possession of drugs, then the locals can't exceed that. After this current law expires at the end of June, they'll go back to the previous law that was ruled unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. So there'll be no law, which means the local government, cities and counties, could put in place penalties up to a gross misdemeanor. Some even say counties could do a Class C felony, although I'm not sure I agree with that. So they have a path to do that. And in some cases, I think that, you know, I put it this way. I think it's better to have a statewide solution if it's a good solution, one they can implement. I think it's better to have it open to the locals if you end up with a bad statewide solution. And I worry that's what where we are headed. And so I think rather than the one that they put forward for a vote on last Sunday would not have worked well across our state. So I think we're better with a local law than with the state law. But I still think if we can get back in session, we get an agreement for a good, well-worked state law, that would be better.
Well, the reason we have the state legislature is to adopt good legislation that kind of supersedes these local laws statewide for these good policy measures. And it's a question for the majority party that they've answered so clearly. It's not important to the majority party to regulate controlled substances. It's not important to the majority party to make it illegal and unlawful for people to possess and consume and otherwise use controlled substances. The majority party is not interested in substance abuse and related issues. They've clearly shown no interest in demonstrating leadership on making our state safe or to improving public health outcomes.
That's right. I would be even more specific. The majority Democrats in the House were unwilling to work across the aisle. They knew that the left side of their caucus, they don't want a wall at all. They want full decriminalization. They knew the only path to a reasonable standard that could be enforced by the cities and counties and law enforcement was to put forward a bipartisan solution that brought some Republican votes. That's what we did in the Senate to get that bill. It had to be a better bill, a more workable bill, one that the prosecutors and law enforcement were comfortable with. The House Democrats just weren't willing to do that. They are consumed by the far left portion of their caucus that their goal in life is to legalize all this. And this is the frustrating part. They seem to be indifferent about the tremendous harm access to these drugs is causing around our state. As you may know, Mike, you know, today the leading cause of death in our state, if you're under 60, is a drug overdose. It's hard to imagine. All the other things that, you know, cause people to pass away, the leading cause, if you're under 60, is drugs.
Certainly, we've seen the rise of the use of the fentanyl in our communities. The majority party is sending a signal to the residents of our state that this culture of lawlessness, this culture of drug abuse and substance abuse and addiction is one that that we can embrace. And they've done little to support substance abuse treatment opportunities or to build up that network of support for those who are actually wanting some assistance. They've crippled our drug courts that were showing success when we actually had a felony law prior to this change to the misdemeanor. And so the majority party is just not interested in public safety. The other way they demonstrated that, Senator, was the standards for vehicular pursuit. At the end of the day, they're just unwilling to actually make improvements to law.
Yeah, I mean, or they make very weak ones that aren't going to really have a difference. In the case of pursuit, you know, we did pass a bill out of the legislature that improved our situation somewhat. What they did is they said, and basically allowed law enforcement to pursue on the basis of reasonable suspicion for murder, assault, domestic violence. There's nothing bad about that, but I mean, the truth is that these aren't the types of crimes that typically result in a high-speed pursuit. That's not where we're missing. It's with auto theft. It's with reckless driving. It's with driveaways where someone commits a crime and the officer, you know, attempts to stop them, and they just drive away because they know that law enforcement has no ability under the law to pursue them. So they made a half-hearted attempt to address it so they could say, you know, they could check the box, but it's not going to change the lawlessness in our state. Organized crime understands that they can get away with it, so they're going to continue to pursue it. And then, you know, when it comes to auto theft or with reckless driving, we've seen some many tragic cases across the state where folks have died because police were unable to pursue to stop a high-speed driver because they didn't have probable cause to chase them. It's been done enormous harm across our state, and the bill they passed just won't get after this. It doesn't do any harm other than it doesn't fix the problem.
We're on the line with State Senator John Braun talking about some of the consequences of the state legislative session. Senator Braun, at the last minute, The majority party Democrats in the Senate also had introduced some various tax measures, particularly concerning the property tax limit that we had previously adopted, the voters had adopted through Initiative 747 with that 1% annual cap. Now the Democrats are coming back and wanting to jack that up to as much as a 3% cap without voter approval.
Yeah, that's right. Just 2 weeks prior to the session, Senator Jamie Peterson dropped a bill that would increase the annual increase in property taxes from 1% to 3%. That was both for state property taxes and for local property taxes. This would have been an enormous new tax increase. And what people don't understand, I don't think, is how much it grows over time because of the compounding. So in the first, you know, it's more money right away in the first year, but then if you go out 5 or 10 years, you have gigantic increases in property taxes, ones that I don't believe our citizens, especially folks on fixed incomes, are already living from paycheck to paycheck, could afford. just unaffordable. In particular, this is it shows a kind of a tone deafness in a world, in a state where people are already having trouble affording to stay in their homes, affording to pay rent or mortgage for where they're living. This is just a bad idea and not in touch with the challenges that regular people have every day.
And again, based on at least our recent economic revenue forecast results, the state doesn't have a shortage of tax receipts coming into the state treasury.
We don't. We've seen the state budget grow, you know, by almost 20%, 19% each of the last three bienniums. We have a very robust state government. Some would say bloated. And we don't need additional funding. And this is just a money grab. It's almost like it's a need. We're getting close to the end of session. We haven't passed a big tax yet. The majority Democrats feel the need to pass a tax. And it was quite a... We had to push back pretty hard to stop this, and then also at the same, you know, at the same time, in the House, the House Democrats were pushing a big increase in the real estate excise tax. And as you may recall, they pushed a big increase all the way through just a few years ago, so that we have I think the third highest real estate excise tax in the country. This would have been, I think, tied us for number one, and it would both at the state level on expensive property and more expensive properties, and also a local option that would have been councilmatic, would not have gone to a vote of the people. And I have no doubt it would have adopted at some point by many municipalities in our state and added more burden to the buying of homes in our state.
And so while we had some difficulty in public safety, there's a number of housing-related measures that were adopted. Republicans were able to stop and hold the line on a number of these tax proposals that Democrats had proposed. What are some of the other successes that you'd want to champion that we could look to say, you know, that there was some success this legislative session?
I think when it comes to housing, there's a couple bills I'd call out, some regulatory reform bills that would help make it faster and therefore less expensive to build houses. A big permit bill that's hopefully once the cities are able to implement it, and it'll take a little bit of time, it'll simplify and speed up permitting for building new homes. There's also a bill that was passed that would simplify the SEPA, State Environmental Protection Act review that goes into almost any permit out there. This would have combined it for some of the larger developments, and I think made it less expensive, more timely. We have an enormous shortage in housing across our state. Various estimates between 250,000 and 300,000 homes behind where we need to be. We need a million more homes by 2040 is the estimate. If we're going to get that done, we have to simplify the regulatory environment so that we get people to bring private capital into our state and build out these homes. I should say dwellings. It doesn't have to be a home. It could be a condo or a townhouse or even the multifamily housing, but we need more places for people to live.
And so, and there was, that's the one kind of area that we saw some real collaboration with the majority party this legislative session was in housing.
That's true.
Aside from that,
there's a couple bills that didn't make it through. One from each chamber. There's a lot splitting bill that came over from the House and unfortunately died in the Senate. I think that would have been a very good bill, maybe the best bill had it made it. And then there's a transit oriented transit housing bill that went from the Senate over to the House and died in the House. And that was I think a good bill. I supported it. It didn't affect our district or rural districts as much as, you know, the more urban central Puget Sound, but it would have helped bring the cost of building more houses down. And so there's a couple bills that didn't make it, but there are a number of bills that did make it, and I think it's a meaningful step forward.
Looking at the interim here before the next legislative session, there's already been a little bit of scuttlebutt talk about a special session to address Blake if the local governments aren't responsive, as well as other issues. If you have to look ahead to the next legislative session, what do you think next January, what are the issues that you would predict today anyway are going to dominate the next legislative session?
Well, I think high-level terms, that it's going to be similar. I mean, we haven't finished our work on public safety. Even if we get this Blake bill done in the next few weeks, if we have a small special session, short special session to do that, there's still more work to do. Pursuit, as we talked about earlier, needs more work. So public safety still going to be a big deal. We still have to rebuild our law enforcement across the state. Affordability is still a challenge to live for, you know, middle-income folks to live in the state of Washington, whether it's food or gas, housing, child care, health care. These are all expensive in our state. We got to do more work on that. And then finally on education. And education, we made some good progress on funding for special education this session, but we did not do, I don't believe, nearly enough still for learning loss to get kids back on track. And then fundamentally, the funding and the success rate of our public schools is really got kind of a structural problem that we need to deal with. So I think all those are going to be still going to be top of mind, and I'll throw one in that nobody's been thinking about for a while, but it's going to become top of mind here in about 2 months, and that's the long-term care payroll tax that everybody was so upset about a year and a half ago. The Democrats, you know, delayed it for a year and a half, but it's coming back the 1st of July. And I suspect there are going to be a lot of unhappy people.
Now you're actually referencing that we're going to have to start paying the long-term care tax July.
That's right. So they put it in place now over 4 years ago, delayed it, and then as the implementation started to come up in 2022, they stepped in last year and delayed it for a year and a half because they didn't want. They knew it was broadly unpopular. It's expensive. You get very little out of it. And people were mad. So looking at election year, the Democrats delayed it. But it didn't make it go away, and they wouldn't talk about it this year. I think the public is going to demand they talk about it next year.
With that, Senator Braun, we thank you so much. We appreciate your service and your leadership. Thank you so much for being so accessible this legislative session and kind of keeping us informed every step of the way through the legislative session. While we hope that you get us a brief reprieve and break here during the interim, we do so much appreciate your leadership on a number of these issues, the depth of your knowledge and understanding your leadership in Olympia.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on. You have a great day.
We appreciate you, Senator John Braun of the 20th Legislative District.